Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History podcast. This is podcast number 7, and today is September 26, 2005. Hello, my name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and the Speaking of History podcast relates to how I'm using technology in my classroom. You can contact me via Gmail at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. And you can find our blog located at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Well, it's been about 3 weeks since my last podcast, and I do have a little bit of a cold this evening, but I wanted to podcast anyway and kind of keep everybody updated on what's happening in my classroom. The last podcast I had was about 3 weeks ago, and I listed several educational goals that I wanted to accomplish in my classroom, and so I wanted to give you some updates on how some of those projects are going. First of all, I've had some feedback from different listeners saying that they're having trouble getting the Speaking of History podcast on iTunes. And from everything that I see, I do have people that have subscribed, and they are getting the iTunes subscription of Speaking of History. So if you're subscribed and you're currently having problems, please let me know, and I will try and update that. I'm still kind of a novice on the whole RSS feed genre. But I'm trying to figure that out, and if I do have a lot of people saying that they're having problems, I'll definitely try and change that. I've had one or two, and then I've gone in myself, and it looks like it's working to me, so I'm not really sure what you're seeing on the other end. So if you would give me some feedback on that, I would really, really appreciate that. Another thing I'd like to kind of update on, I had two blog entries recently where I commented on the D-Day Museum in New Orleans and what that looked like after the hurricane, the first one, Katrina. And at first I was getting feedback saying that it had been looted and there's a lot of damage and it looked like it was almost completely destroyed. And then since then I've seen several updates saying that the museum is actually in relatively good shape, which is such a blessing. If you've ever been to the D-Day Museum, they have quite a bit of their displays on the second and third floors. Down on the first floor, they have a gift shop, they've got a Higgins boat, they've got some larger pieces, but supposedly everything that I've seen on it is there's a little bit of water damage on the first floor, and the rest of it is in pretty good shape. So if you go to the D-Day Museum, they do have a little updated page about where they're at, and you know, obviously they're going to need some funds to recover a little bit, but I'll try and put that link on the show notes. So good news on the D-Day Museum, not as bad as it looked when we first commented on it a couple weeks ago. The first thing I'd like to update today is one of the goals that I put in my last podcast, and that was goal number 3, to have the entire social studies staff in my building use iRivers as an educational tool. And I'm the social studies department chair at South Valley Junior High, and the staff is 4 people total. We have 2 8th grade American history teachers and then 2 9th grade American history teachers. And proposed this the first week of school and got approval. And so about a week ago, we actually went out and purchased the iRippers. And so the staff's had them for about a week. Everyone's kind of getting used to them. We're going to do some in-service stuff, I think, this next week on some ideas on how to use them in the classroom, putting the software on our computers at school as well as at home so we can use them in both places. But I think it's going to go pretty well. We got an iRiver IFP799, and that's a 1 gig machine, so we got tons of memory. I think that's equivalent of about 34 hours of music. And I think, as I've mentioned before, I really like the iRivers because it's so versatile. You can have an internal microphone, it's got an FM tuner on it, you can have inlines into it. So I really like the iRiver. The one I have right now is actually an IFP895, which has about half the memory of the one that we just purchased for the staff. But I just really like the iRiver product. It's easy to use, compact. I think it's very versatile. And everybody on our staff's pretty excited about it. We've already brainstormed a little bit on ideas that we can use. And we'd like to kind of see where we're at the end of the year and see if we can maybe expand the program a little bit. So goal number 3, getting the staff to use them. We took a big first step by getting them, and now we're in the process of brainstorming a little bit and getting those online. Goal number 4 that I had was to have students teaching a community member's computer applications course or evening. And I am currently working on that. I think it's going to be in November. And the ideas that we've kind of spun around a little bit are to have a community night where people can come in and hopefully take something away with them that they can use at home. And so we thought if we did something in November, we could kind of theme it to the entire holiday theme. And so we're planning on having community members come in and use our labs at the junior high, along with students that are going to be there to help and assist a little bit in the computer labs. And we're going to try and do basically three mini workshops and have everybody rotate through about every 20 minutes. So people would be there for about an hour total. We'd have about 20 minutes would be teaching them how to use Windows Photo Story 3, which would be a great application if somebody has a bunch of digital still photos and they'd like to create something for either after Christmas, or maybe they'd like to create a video instead of a Christmas letter. They can send out a video on what they've done for the last year. It seems like everybody has tons of digital photos now, and there's not really a lot of great ways to go ahead and display those all at once to somebody else. So if you created a photo story video with that, it's very, very easy to take your digital still photos and create your own video. And you can include text, you can include your own music, you can include music that is provided by the program, which is actually pretty good. You can do a lot of different things with that. So we wanted to show them Photo Story 3, and then we would rotate and have another session be how you can create mailing labels using a template in Word, so that if you're getting ready for your Christmas cards, you could have a mailing label template set up so you don't have to write out all those addresses. And then our third one, I think, would be how to create either a Christmas card or a Christmas letter using, again, Word, or we could also do that in Publisher and show them some of the templates in Publisher. So right now we're working on that. I've talked to the people at Microsoft, and I think we might get a little bit of support from them on some of the things that we can offer that evening. But right now it looks like we're definitely moving forward for that, and we'll give you some more updates as we get a little bit closer to that community night. But I think that'd be a great way to share what we have in school with the community. We've got a very nice lab. We've got basically three PC labs right in the LMC. We've got the computers in the LMC plus two labs. And so we could rotate those three groups through very easily and really kind of show the community what they've given us as taxpayers that we can use in school. And then I'd love to see how the students react in being mentors or being teachers of that technology to members of the community. So that's an update on goal number four. The other thing that we're working on right now is goal number six, and that's a podcast show using somebody in the community as the person that we're interviewing. And right now I've talked a little bit to our state representative in Jefferson City, and I think we're going to try and create a podcast where he would explain how state politics impacts eighth graders. And since I teach eighth graders and we do a thing on the Constitution and how a bill becomes a law, I really think that it's key for them to understand that state government does have an impact on their lives. And I've seen in the past that when we do show that correlation between them and what's happening in state government, they become much more interested, they become much more engaged, and it's a great unit. Usually it happens the most clearly when we have an election year and they actually see some of the issues come out. But I think if we did a podcast, maybe three or four podcasts throughout the year, and just sat down for maybe 10 or 15 minutes and had him explain how some of the legislation in state government does have an impact on them, I think that would be a great use of a podcast to kind of show them the connection. So right now we don't have anything in concrete yet, but we're definitely working on goal number six, which is getting that podcast for a community member. So that's kind of how those three goals are coming along right now. I would also like to share that I did a new thing for me at least, and that's what I'm calling a study cast. About 2 weeks ago, we had our first unit test in my class, and I sat down with our study guide about two or three days before the test and basically talked my way through the study guide, explaining the various things that students would need to know for the test if they wanted to ace the test. And I then put that up on my classroom website as an MP3 file. And I told my students about it the day before. And that night we had 80 downloads of the study cast. And I've got about 150 students right now in my six preps, or my six classes. And so you figure almost about half of the students downloaded the StudyCast for the night before, anxious to see what will happen on the Unit 2 test. But the feedback I've gotten from students and from parents and from other teachers has been really positive. I really try to sell it to my students as, hey, if you're studying for the test, basically listening to the StudyCast is like having me come over and sit down with you and explain the key parts of the chapter or the key parts of the unit. The benefit, though, is that at any time they can turn me off, they can go to the restroom, they can grab a Coke, they can watch their favorite show, and they can come back and resume the study session whenever they like. They could do a study session at 6 in the morning, or they could do a study session at 10 in the evening. They could download it, put it on an MP3 player, and listen to the StudyCast as they ride the bus to school in the morning. There's tons and tons of applications. So I really think the first StudyCast was a great success. I'm looking forward to having it in the future. One thing that I do on the StudyCast also is when I email my parents a test alert, and I've got all my parents as a contact list, and I email them a couple days before the test and say, hey, this is what's happening. We got a test coming up. Study guides are available at this link. You can also go to my classroom page and see copies of the notes at this link. I also put a little link in there the day before saying, hey, this is a way to study if you wanna use it. So first experience with StudyCast, very good. We'll kind of see what happens on the next one. I would also like to explain one more educational podcast that I've discovered recently, and that's a brand new one that just came out. It's called Soft Reset. And it's an educational podcast made especially for educators using handheld computers. And it's by two people that I actually know. One is Tony Vincent. He's a teacher in Omaha, Nebraska. I believe he's actually an ed tech person this year. But Tony's been doing lots and lots of stuff with handhelds. If you want to see an excellent website on how to use handhelds in education, check out www.learninginhand.com. And Tony maintains that site. He's got a blog. He's got tons of links. He's one of the people doing the Soft Reset podcast. The other person that does it with him is Mike Curtis. And Mike Curtis is also a big person in the educational handheld arena. I listened to Mike speak last year at the NEDA conference in Omaha, Nebraska. And right now he's working on several projects around the country with handhelds. And so Tony and Mike actually get together via, I don't know if they use Skype or not, but they get together and do the podcast as kind of like co-host. And they've got one episode out so far. I've got it as a link on the links on the right side of my page. So if you want to check that out, Soft Reset, as of right now, they've got one show out. And it talks a lot about charging the batteries on your handhelds. And I learned a lot about handhelds that I had never heard before. And it helps me maintain my pocket PC here at home. So just another educational podcast that I've come across and wanted to share with everybody. So I hope everybody has a great week. We're just finishing up week 6 at school. So we're into our second grading period and kids are kind of settling in. Teachers are kind of settling into the new routines. And things have been going pretty well. So trying to do a lot of different things this year and kind of juggle everything at the same time. But so far, things have gone pretty well. So again, if you've got any comments, please email me at speakinghistory@gmail.com. And again, you can also find our podcast at www.speakinghistory.blogspot.com. So until next time, have a great day. Bye.